It's here and now, and that's what corporations are saying about climate change. 215 of the biggest global companies report almost $1 trillion is at risk from climate impacts, those likely to hit within 5 years or happening now. For example, PG&E filed for bankruptcy protection after facing billions in liabilities for its role in those deadly fires in California. In the past, corporations have covered up the impact of climate change. Exxon comes to mind. But now investors are telling them they want transparency. We want to take an occasional look at corporations and climate change, starting today with a nonprofit that helps them disclose risks and helps investors understand them. Bruno Sarda is president of CDP North America. Bruno, you say companies are taking climate change much more seriously now.
You know, it's been evolving. So not only are they taking this seriously, but we're definitely seeing a sophistication in how they are caring, especially since last year, a great interest in, regardless of how these companies are impacting the environment and causing climate change, what will a changing climate cause their businesses, mm-hmm. and also incorporating their supply chains. So to look at kind of their, if you will, their supply risk. And clearly the numbers are big and they're just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. Well, so for instance, you have BASF, that's the German chemical company, saying, acknowledging that they have a significant corporate carbon footprint. They don't want to scare off environmentally conscious shareholders. They acknowledge that as a problem for them. You have Hitachi, the Japanese manufacturer, worried about increased rainfall and flooding in Southeast Asia, knocking out suppliers there and saying that they have to take defensive measures. So is this the kind of transparency that investors are looking for?
Yes, absolutely. They really want these organizations to get pretty granular in terms of not just, you know, we have a big carbon footprint, but through the CDP disclosure, it's saying where, it's saying, you know, what are their means of production? What is the carbon intensity of their various operations, both at a operational and functional level, but also geographically. So where are these intensities? You know, how could they be affected, for example, by changing regulation, for example, for price on carbon? And actually, many organizations are acknowledging that even a modest price on carbon could significantly affect their financial performance if they are very carbon intensive currently.
Right. And this is, you know, being taxed for their carbon output or being forced to pay, you know, for how much they produce. You also hear from banks that if they loan in areas where there's going to be terrible flooding, they're acknowledging, gee, these loans might not be paid back. I mean, get down to that granular level. Some of the things that corporations are acknowledging could be climate-related problems for them and their investors down the road.
There are two broad risk categories. Some are called physical risks and some are called transition risks. Physical risks might be like if you're Coca-Cola and you have a bottling plant on the side of a river where you need to pull a lot of water, and maybe that water is not expected to be there within 5 or 10 years. That water, that river might run dry. Or on the contrary, if you have a plant, like maybe a power plant or something else also on the side of a river, and it's expected to keep flooding because of the increase in extreme weather. These are physical risks that have, you know, a very real cost that will affect financial performance. And then transition risks could be anything from new regulation that countries or states might put in place to try to regulate the externality that is, let's say, carbon pollution into the atmosphere. It could also be things like the disruption of new technologies that are coming as a result of the huge demand, for example, for renewable energy from corporate America, or other examples where your core business could be disrupted by a transition to a lower carbon economy, for example.
Yeah. What do you do about the fact that corporations, or people within them, lie? They don't tell the truth, or they don't, you maybe understand, we mentioned PG&E, the California power company. When they filled out your report last year, they estimated the potential financial impact from wildfires around $2.5 billion. Turns out they were wrong by about $28 billion, you know, in their fire liabilities. As we've said, they've gone bankrupt. Then you have Exxon, according to that blockbuster reporting in Scientific American. They knew about climate change about 40 years ago, not only well knew about it, but actively paid others to put out disinformation about climate change. I mean, it just really makes you angry when you hear about this. Why should people trust the reporting these companies make to you?
You know, that's at the end of the day, that's the heart of CDP's mission. You know, what we do is we create transparency and we expose, if you will, what these companies have to say about these topics. And then both through our own analysis and insights, as well as what these investors and financial companies do, they can then assess whether, frankly, whether they believe it, just like any other information that an organization might report on their sales projections or anything else. Investors will have to decide whether they believe this information is credible. Right. And then they can determine whether they want to own a particular company, whether they want to lend them money, whether they want to insure them, et cetera.
It's one thing to kind of estimate through computer models what cost from an increase in taxes on carbon might be. It's another to, you know, try to think broadly about, as you say, the supply chain and all these other things that you might encounter. But do you have private conversations with people from these companies? I mean, have you found yourself in a room with somebody who's resistant to this? And if so, what do you say to them?
Sure. You know, and actually, before I joined CDP, I spent nearly 10 years actually on the other side of that conversation, leading and you know, overseeing the disclosures to CDP for many years at Dell in the IT sector, and then later on for an energy company. So I've actually had both sides of that conversation.
Well, what do you say? What do you say to someone who's resistant, to someone who says, that's crazy? I'm not going to tell everybody, you know, what my concerns are about my losses. I mean, what do you say to somebody to encourage them if they're not yet on this train?
I think here in 2019, looking at over 7,000 of the world's largest companies are disclosing, you know, 525 of the world's largest investors have made it clear that they want this information. Any executive who says, I don't want to do it, the first question you really want to ask them is, what are you hiding? Disclosing this information willingly to your investors and your lenders and your customers, that signals something in and of itself. It is no longer a reasonable choice not to be transparent about this.
Should there be more pressure? You found that countries or headquartered at least in the EU, much more likely to give you these detailed effects of global warming because local regulations require them to. The US, China, Brazil, Mexico, less likely. The Securities and Exchange Commission in the U.S. doesn't mandate publicly traded companies acknowledge potential climate impacts. But should there be a mandate?
I mean, for sure, CDP is very much on record saying that, you know, these are absolutely financially material data. We firmly believe it should be required. But at the same time, as long as it's not, it is absolutely financially material. And we will continue to work with investors to help them make decisions as to whether or not they want to continue deploying capital into organizations that are not taking this seriously and that are not being transparent about it.
Is this made tougher now because of this administration, the Trump administration, which has rolled back environmental protections and rolled back the fight against climate change? Does that make it harder? Or are you hearing from the business community, we are not waiting for them?
So, you know, I mean, for sure, you know, what's happening right now in the federal government is certainly not what we would hope for. I mean, the science is clear. The facts are here. This is not a matter of opinion. And this, you know, this kind of obfuscation and denial is unproductive. And frankly, it's bad management for this country. Having said that, actually, to your point, because of this, you know, irresponsible abdication of authority and responsibility at the federal level, we have seen investors and companies step up. You have, you know, over 2,500 companies have signed something called the We Are Still In Declaration, who were very clear that they are still committed to the goals of the Paris Climate Agreement. And so there are all kinds of, you know, if you will, shimmers of light and great stories of proactive action and leadership in all kinds of areas from companies and investors, in large part because of government inaction, certainly in the United States.
Bruno Cerda, president of CDP North America. Bruno, thanks so much.
Thank you.
By the way, Bruno says a leader in this field is Walmart because of its work to reduce supply chain greenhouse gas emissions. We'll continue to take a look at corporations and climate change.